John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? How are we going to feed these people? Sounds like mama on Thanksgiving afternoon, don't it? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. In the title of my message today is He Knows. Or maybe we should say He Already Knows. Amen. He Already Knows. Lord, have your way in the Word today. And let your perfect will and plan be accomplished. Praise God. Well, I want to tell you folks, and I feel like the Lord has directed me to this message because there are those of us here that are responsible for things. We're responsible for providing. We're responsible for. We're laughing and talking and we with Sister Karis because she helps us with the home group menu. And there have been times when our food supply was short and our crowd was big. But oddly enough, we always seem to have enough food. And if we don't have very much, it seems to stretch further. And if we have way more than what we need, we seem to find somewhere to give it a home. And I told her, I said, well, what it is when people see there's not very much food, then they don't take as much. And I said, maybe that'll be a new diet for the church. Instead of making 2 pans, we'll just start making 1 and we'll start putting out smaller plates. There's always going to be a more demand and more need than what we have the capability to supply. God calls us into ministry and He calls us to do great things in the kingdom. But oftentimes we face what seem like insurmountable obstacles and very difficult odds. And we know for a fact, because common sense will tell you, you know for a fact, that we do not have enough to go around. Sometimes it's food, sometimes it's money to pay the bills. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. And you get your $500-something house insurance bill in the mail, and you just say, Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, you know. And there's always going to be pressure on us concerning resources and supply for what we need to do from day to day and from what we need to do and that God has called us to do. It could be, you know, children. You know, I know there's a few in here that have quite a few kids. We were laughing with Darnell and Ashley earlier this summer because earlier in the year we were having our Bible studies And we were talking about Darnell getting to see some of his kids that live in Georgia. And of course, he was like, well, there's no way that I'll ever get to see those kids because all the reasons I can't afford, you know, to pay for an attorney to get, you know, the custody set out and visitation rights and all these other things, and blah, 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 blah. And so I said, well, let's just pray about it before I left. And so we just said, Lord, you know that this is an impossible situation, but we're asking you to help with Darnell to be able to see his kids. And as you know, this summer, I don't know how long it was. Was it within the week or was it a couple weeks after that? When was that?
I think it was a few weeks after that. We ended up praying at the home group while he was going down there to fight for the boys. And on the way down there, he got a call from the lawyer saying, turn back, because she's changed her mind.
You see, And it's funny, and I'm making a point here. We prayed about it because it was out of their control, but God provided. He opened the doors, and so he got to see his kids for several weeks this summer. And I got to talk to him in home Bible study and see him in the church services, and he was just shaking his head. And I just put my arm around and said, brother, you got to be careful what you pray for. And he was just like, he got his prayer. I said, because God will answer your prayer. And he was shaking his head because it turned out to be quite the ordeal. And his prayer was answered, but he got also themes and responsibilities and put a great stress and strain on his life to have these extra kids to take care of. And I said all that to say it could be your family situations. It could be a work situation. It could be all sorts of things that can seem very overwhelming to us, more than we are capable in ourselves of dealing with and accomplishing in this life. But as I was reading through my Bible reading this year, some time ago, I bookmarked this, and the Lord led me back to it today. And it says this, he asked his disciples, how are we going to feed all these people? But it said in John chapter 6, verse 6, but Jesus did this to prove him, for he himself already knew what he was going to do. And I just want to take a minute to remind you today, God knows your situation.
Right.
Jesus said during his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he said, God knows what you need before you even ask him for it.
Right.
And he knows what he has already got a plan. He already knows what he's going to do. But sometimes he lets us languish. Sometimes he lets us struggle. Sometimes he lets us worry and be anxious to prove us, to test us, to teach us to learn to put our trust and our faith in God. And so God brings us to difficult times. He brings us to difficult situations. He brings us, but Jesus said, don't worry about it. Don't take thought for it. Don't be anxious over it. Because I already know that you need these things. I already know that you're going to be going through these things. I already have a plan in place to deal with it, to take care of it, and to prosper you. The prophet of the Old Testament says, I know the plans that I have for you to do you good and not to do you evil. That's the kind of God that we serve. And Jesus, in the scripture, it said he already knew himself what he was going to do. So what if the challenge for the church is to stop worrying about things, to stop trying to figure out how. And what we need to learn to do as a church is to give thanks for what we do have. To work with what we have, what we do know, and to deal with wherever God has, Paul said, whatever rule that you have attained to, then mind that rule and stay where God has put you. And if God brings you to a difficult situation, and all you have is a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish to meet an insurmountable need. I like what Jesus did. The Bible says he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, then he began to multiply it to the needs of the people that were there. What we need to do as a church, knowing that the situation is impossible, knowing that God already knows what he's going to do about it, we need to take what we have. I know this may sound a little creepy to you, but say, God, thank you, because we tend to want to complain about what we don't have. Let me rephrase that. I tend to want to complain about what I don't have. And we need to be careful, because in the Bible, in one of the parables, Jesus talking about that he gave talents to three different of his servants. In the parable, there was a master. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of influence. And he was going on a traveling journey. And he was trying to disciple and to train his servants to prepare them for greater things. And so he gave five talents. Two talents or three talents and one talent. And we know how the story goes. They multiply their talents. And so then the master said, now that you've been faithful over little things, I'm going to make you rule over many things. So God is testing us. God is proving us. But the man with the one talent, he was a whiner. He was a complainer. He was fearful. And so what did he say? I knew you were a hard man. And I know that you reap things where you've never even sown a seed. And I know how that you are, and it seems like your touch is the Midas touch, and everything you touch turns to gold. So I just took what I had, and I shoved it under a rock and hid it so I wouldn't lose it. That's the wrong approach for a believer to deal with the problems and the situations that arise in our lives, whether it's financial, or whether it's relationships, or whether it's career, or whether it's something going on in our family, or whatever it might be, or a spiritual situation. And even leaders in the church and pastors, when we see that things are getting difficult, we tend to want to complain about what we have. And the Bible says that when the man began to complain about what he had, that the master took what the servant had away from him, and he gave it to the guy that had the most. Right. And he said that those will have taken away from them even what they have if they don't take the time to appreciate what they have, if they don't take the time to invest, if they don't appreciate the value of even the little things that God has placed in their lives, that God will take it away from them and give it to somebody else that's motivated and somebody else that's thankful for the opportunity to take a challenge that the master saw them fit and worthy of the challenge. We need to think that way when we're dealing with a ministry situation. I know Philip and Lois are trying to start a soup kitchen. It's a tough thing to do. And it's something new in the community. And people are like, wow, that's a great idea. You know? And they're thinking to themselves, well, I sure hope everything works out for them. You know, and I'm not saying that everybody's thinking like that. There are people out there, man, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And Lois is the type of person, she ignores all the naysayers, and she gathers around her the people that say, yeah, let's do that. But you know, this is a thing of faith. But basically, they're stepping out. There's no money, no location, no idea how it's going to work out. But it's a challenge that the Lord has set before her. And so she set it before the church. And now it collected nearly $3,000 in contributions. And now the Lord is starting to open up doors here and see a little bit of crack of light seeping through here and there. But it's a struggle, you know, here, because it sends you back to the prayer closet, sends you back to putting your faith in God. But we've got to learn to take the challenge and just be thankful. God, I don't know how that this is going to work out, but I know that you called me to do this. you've called me here at this time, this purpose. Take what I have, God. I give you what I have, and I thank you for it. And be amazed and be shocked and be astounded and even be dumbfounded when God puts his hand upon the little bit that we have and he begins to multiply it to the needs of multitudes of people. It's a difficult thing to do in this hour. We challenge the church to be thankful for something every day in November leading up to and including Thanksgiving. How many of you are keeping up with the Thanksgiving challenge? It's hard to remember to be thankful every day, isn't it? I've got a new a planner and journal that I'm using, and it's been very effective for me, and it's helping me see weak areas and helping me do better and accomplish more and hit the target and work on things that need to be worked on that don't really cry for attention, but if they're not worked on, then it will cause things to just continue to stay like they are. And I'm finding out that in all of these planning, special planners that you can buy and all of these different companies that come out with these things, they have found that what they need to do is to challenge an individual to develop a habit of being grateful for what is going on in their lives. They have found, years ago I read in Reader's Digest an article about lucky people, and they did a study on lucky people. People that seem, everything seems to go their way all the time. How many of you know something that things always seem to go their way? And then you've got my favorite cartoon, a character in the newspapers called the Born Loser. How many of you know people like that? Nothing ever seems to go their way. And I like the Born Loser. I feel for him. I have compassion for him. I like to read the cartoon and see the troubles that he has. And no matter how hard he tries, it seems like everything goes against him. No matter how hard he tries to do something nice, it's always misunderstood. No matter how hard he tries to succeed, he seems to always manage to fail. And so all of these people that are starting these companies and selling these planners, they realize that if a person is going to be successful, they have got to be grateful. They have got to develop a positive attitude. They've got to have a great, powerful, positive outlook on the world. And I'm encouraging the church today. I know the challenges are great. I know the obstacles may seem insurmountable. And maybe I'm just preaching to myself today. I don't know. It's kind of quiet in here. So maybe it's just nice and warm and cozy. And I used to sit on the pews too. I know what it feels like. And it's like driving down the road after a long day of work. And you're like, you think the preacher thinks everybody's saying amen, but they're not really saying amen. But maybe I'm just preaching myself. I don't know. But to take the little bit that we have and to start to teach ourselves to be thankful for what we have. Sometimes it's hard to do. That old beat up vehicle that goes. Manufacturers threw together so cheaply, and it's always breaking down. It's so hard to be thankful for that old, the beat up house that I rent, and the landlord will fix this and that. It's so hard to be thankful sometimes. And our job, they've raised how much it costs for health insurance, and then they're making me work long hours, and then my boss doesn't appreciate me. And it's so hard sometimes to be thankful for the things that are happening in our lives. But I believe there's a secret for the church that. And back to the Reader's Digest article, they found that there's no such thing as a lucky person. What they found when they began to research quote-unquote lucky people who have had extreme unusual success in their lives, without fail, every single one of those people had developed a very positive outlook and learned to be grateful and thankful. And one of the stories within that story was of a man that they had interviewed, and he was talking about how that his wife had wrecked the car, and she was, when he got home, she was so upset, and he was just like, he said he just had an epiphany. He was like, I could, and so he just didn't say anything. He just kind of laughed about it, and you know, and she's like, "Well, aren't you upset? You know, I thought you would be upset." And he's like, "You know, we can be upset that the car is broken and damaged. Or we cannot be upset that the car is broken and damaged. But one thing for sure, that's not going to change. The car is broken and damaged." And these people begin to say to themselves, "It doesn't matter if the car is broken and damaged. I don't have to look at it as a bad thing. I can just, it's broken, it's time. That doesn't mean I have to cry about it." And so they found out, and we got that these lucky people had developed a habit of gratitude. They had developed a habit of looking on the bright side of things. And as they began to do that, it changed the situations around them. And as they began to look on the bright side of things, and as they began to take a positive attitude towards the trials in life, they began to see opportunities that the whiners and the complainers never got to see, because the whining and the complaining shuts your brain down. All you can do is focus on the problem, but you can't see the solution because your mind is so weighted down. How? Not even 100 penny worth of bread, 200 penny worth of bread is going to be enough to feed all these people. How are we going to feed all of these people? It's impossible. There's another song on that radio station, K-Love, and the title is "He Knows." He knows. He knows every problem that it's a good song, isn't it? They'll get to remember as the part. He knows. He knows. And I've just been going around, you know, with all the transitions that are taking place, that song keeps going over and over my head. He knows. You know, he knows, and there's a comfort in knowing that God already has a plan. There's a comfort in knowing that he already knows before I open my mouth what I'm going to say. He already knows what I need. He's already got a plan in motion. My job is to learn to be thankful in spite of the situation and circumstances that I'm facing. My job is to learn to be thankful for a little child's lunchbox. And when I learn that type of gratitude in my life, when I'm writing it down, if you've got it posted on the refrigerator every day, what am I thankful for? And yeah, I missed a day or two, and I'm supposed to be thankful for 3 things in the morning and 3 things at night. And you can tell the ones that are sticking with it because they're thankful for warm showers and they're starting to be thankful for their houses. I'm thankful for a pair of shoes that, you know, I don't have to walk and cut my feet on glass. And you can tell because we're not used to being thankful, because we're not used to being grateful, because we're not used to looking on the bright side of things. When we look at our shoes, we say, "Uh-oh, they're getting old. Looks like I'm going to need a new pair." We always look on the negative. "Uh-oh, the old car's not working like it used to." Instead of saying, "Wow, this car has really held up great." You know, Brother Stewart's driving around Sister Lois's old Ford truck. And I don't know how many miles, close to 260,000 miles on it, you know. And we're driving down the road. You know, it just squeaks and groans and moans. And the cruise control things are hanging out like an eyeball's been popped out of somebody's eye. It's still attached by the optic nerve, you know. And the car doesn't have a stitch of rust on it. It still runs like a top. And we're thankful for that. You know, we could drive down the road and go, "Oh, yeah, this old creaky car, you know." But no, we're thankful. We need to be thankful. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he gave thanks for what they had. And then God started to work. When we are thankful for what we have, that's when God starts to work. When we are thankful for what we have, that's when God starts to work. When we are thankful for what we have and the little bit that is not going to be enough, that's when God steps in and starts to supply superabundantly that only he can do. That's what we as believers are challenged to do this holiday season. And if we will do that and develop that habit, not only will God meet the need that we have currently, but But the Bible says there was fragments left over. The Bible says it wasn't fed with enough to get by, but they ate as much as they wanted. And another thing, it might be just this, and I'll say this close to the closing time here, that it may be that we don't get the privileges and we don't get the resources and the benefits, and because who wants to hang around a grouch? And a lot of times the opportunities and the blessings never come your way because you're like a bug repellent. Instead of a bug repellent, you're a blessing repellent. Complaining, doubting, worrying. It's a blessing repellent. Sister Davis. It's a blessing repellent. Praise God. It's a blessing repellent. And it doesn't just repel blessings, it repels people. And the Bible says, in Malachi, talks about, we always quote the scripture, give the tithes, you know, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, keep on for you, a blessing that cannot contain. The Lord will heap it up, press it down, and running over. It says this, shall men give into your bosom. The blessings of God flow through the hands of people. So if we're repelling people, then we're repelling blessings. Hallelujah. Let's stand together today. I know it's difficult sometimes to see the bright side of things. I am a grudge holder. I am a sarcastic. I am a cynic. And I'm a smart mouth. Proud, arrogant, know-it-all. Amen. That's who I am. That's who I am. And you know what? It's not real pretty. And you know what? People don't like it. Right? And so, for some of us more than others, the practice of gratitude is a very, very crucial link to our walk with God and to the prosperity of our ministry, our lives, our relationships in the church. I spend more time biting my tongue all throughout the day and not being critical than I do. We need to learn to be more thankful. And God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we cannot contain. But there has to be an opening up of the windows. There has to be a receptiveness. God, you put me here. God, this is all you gave me to work with. And I thank you. And I don't see how it's going to work out. But I know that this is your plan. And I know that you've already got it figured out. And I know that you've given me this. And this is how the job's going to get done. And so I just say thank you for it. And until I understand it, I trust you. I believe in you. And I know that you're about to release a blessing in my life. I know that you're testing me, that you're growing my faith. And I say, God, grow my faith. And let me trust you like I never have before. Thank you, God, for wanting to do more in my life by testing me. Thank you, God, for helping me to know that you're calling me to such greater things that you have saw fit to perfect my faith through tests and trials. What a different way of praying. What a different way of thinking that is. If you want to be lucky in this life, you're going to have to learn to make some of your own luck. If you want to be lucky in this life, you're going to have to learn to work with what you've got and be thankful for it and not let yourself degenerate into negativity and into discouragement and depression. Thank God for what you have. Thank God for what you have. Stop complaining and worrying about what you don't have. Thank God for what you have. And you will release a blessing from heaven. This is not a vending machine thing where we call the name of Jesus. Well, Lord, I'm thankful, you know. It's not a game that we play with God. It's an attitude that we cultivate and we develop. And if we do, it will bring fruit unto righteousness and godliness. And the blessings of God will not only meet the needs that you have right now, but you'll look back with the leftovers. I preach to myself today. Hallelujah. I thank God for the leftovers. That'll be a good, thankful thing for you to be thankful for on November 24th. Thank God for the leftovers. Next week's sermon, thank God for the leftovers. Maybe next week we'll just let you thank God for the leftovers and let you have that opportunity. Lord Jesus, we just want to tell you, God, we're like birds in the air. We're insignificant. We're just flapping around, searching around for answers. God, we're just like dogs. They're off their leash. They wander all over the place and sniff everything. But God, you are our Father. You are our guide. Love us and you supply all of our needs, and you already have a plan in place. Lord, we just want to give thanks to you today to develop an attitude of gratitude. Whatever we do in word or in deed, we do it all in the name of Jesus. God, giving glory to you and praise and magnifying you. Lord, whatever we do, God, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving. Into your courts with praise, and we are thankful unto you, and we bless your name today. Hallelujah. And in everything, God, we give thanks to you because you are the one that meets our every need. Have your way with us this week. Let your will be done in our lives. Lead us to hungry hearts. Let us be winners of souls. And I want to remind you in dismissal to remember.